This is Vermont Edition. I'm Rick Singeri in for Jane Lindholm. This morning, VPR released the results of the first head-to-head poll of the 2016 race for governor. The VPR poll shows gubernatorial candidates Sue Minter, Phil Scott, in a statistical dead heat, with Republican Phil Scott taking 39%, Democrat Sue Minter getting 38%. The VPR poll was conducted by the Castleton Polling Institute, and it reveals a big set of data on statewide issues, races that matter most to people, how the party preference and demographics are breaking out across this election. Today on Vermont Edition, we're going to dig into the results. Early this morning, we posted all of the data from the poll at vpr.net. You can also learn about the polling methodology there. That's vpr.net. Joining me for today's discussion is Rich Clark. He's director of the Castleton Polling Institute, which conducted the poll for VPR, and he's in our Rutland studio at PEG TV. Hello, Rich.
Good morning.
And VPR reporter Pete Hirschfeld has been working with the data, talking to some of the people who took the poll. Pete, welcome to you.
Hi, Rick. Hi, Rich. Great to be with you guys.
Rich, the poll results in the governor's race are the real standout here. Republican Phil Scott, 39%. Democrat Sue Minter getting 38%. So, Rich, what is the margin of error in the poll? And explain why we're calling it a statistical tie.
The margin of error for the poll is 4 percentage points either way. So theoretically, looking at the results in these two, either one could be in the lead, and the could be a margin as great as 7%. So the best we can estimate right now is that they are nearly dead even.
And Pete, what was your reaction when you saw those results? Surprised that it was this close?
I hope this doesn't make me sound arrogant, but no, I was not surprised. and I've talked to a lot of reporters and political observers today who say the results confirm their own unscientific intuitions. Both candidates have some obvious strengths and some obvious weaknesses, and I think on paper they match up pretty evenly. Phil Scott, of course, is a familiar face to a lot of voters by now, having won three statewide elections for lieutenant governor. And he doesn't just win these races. He wins them big. In 2014, he won more than 60% of the vote, if I recall correctly, against a really respectable opponent in Dean Corin. So he's popular not just among his Republican base, but with independents and lots of Democrats, for that matter. Then you have Sue Minter. She's a first-time statewide candidate, sure, and no one's ever seen her name on their ballot before, which can definitely be a liability, if for no other reason than name recognition. But she's a Democrat who's running for governor in a state with more Democrats than Republicans, and that is a built-in advantage, notwithstanding the fact that Phil Scott does well with Democrats. You add to the fact that it's a presidential year, a weird one, albeit, and the high turnout that we expect to see in that presidential year is another check in Minter's favor.
Now, you should mention that Sue Minter was a state representative, so people
she
in Waterbury
was.
Did get to vote for her.
People in Waterbury, Bolton, and Beals Gore.
That's
believe.
Right. And she also was involved in the Irene recovery project, which got her in the news quite a bit.
Absolutely. And at the outset of this election, we did see Sue Minter struggling with some name recognition figures. By July, though, when VPR did its second poll, we saw her up to 63% name recognition with voters. Now, that was a far cry from the 83 or 86%, I think, that we saw with Phil Scott. But we've seen her be able to close that gap. There's a lot of attention that gets paid on someone when they are their party's nominee for an office like this. And I think the name recognition issue for Sue Minter's has, in a lot of ways, resolved itself over the course of this campaign.
Listeners, we're talking about the results of the VPR poll released earlier this morning. It shows in the lieutenant governor's race, David Zuckerman with a 17-point lead over Randy Brock in the U.S. Senate race, Patrick Leahy with a 37% lead over Scott Milne, and in the attorney general's race, T.J. Donovan has a 42% lead over Deb Bucknam. But the governor's race, a statistical tie between Phil Scott and Sue Minter. So what do you think about these poll results? Does this line up with your own opinions or with what your friends and neighbors are saying? Give us a call, 1-800-639-2211, 1-800-639-2211. You can also post your thoughts on the Vermont Edition page at vpr.net, and that's where we have all the poll data posted for you that you'll need to follow along here. Rich, there are third-party candidates in this race and a big group of undecideds. So tick through the other lines of results in this governor's race for us.
Absolutely. Well, Bill Spaceman Lee is running on the Liberty Union. He's got a 2% percentage of the preferences that we measured. And then there's another 5% that fall into other. And these are could be anything when people deciding for write-ins and whatnot. But we have 14% who still say not sure, undecided, with, you know, 3 weeks going into the election.
And we should really say this was conducted, like a week ago or up through this weekend?
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of 3.5 to 4 weeks out before the election, correct?
For some of the interviews, that's all right.
Yeah. Pete, Bill Lee has attracted a lot of attention because of his baseball career. Doesn't seem to translate to support from likely voters, though.
It does not seem to translate into support, and you have to wonder whether it's Bill Lee's performance in the debates that's led to this result or the fact that he simply has not run much of a campaign. Bill Lee takes pride in the fact that he hasn't raised any money, but that means there's no TV, no radio ads. He doesn't have any campaign staff. He doesn't tour the state glad-handing at parades, and he's a Liberty Union candidate, so he doesn't really have a robust party apparatus he can lean on. In the debates, he's demonstrated a very unconventional approach, I'd say, to solving some of the issues that voters care most about. I think people really enjoy listening to him. I mean, he's an engaging and fascinating man to behold when he's on that debate stage. I'm not sure, though, that he fits the mold that most people are looking for in their chief executive. Phil Scott was the one who insisted that Bill Lee be in these debates, and he basically said later that he was afraid Vermonters might vote for Bill Lee instead of him because of Bill Lee's major league bona fides. Phil Scott said he wanted voters to see Bill Lee up close and personal before they cast that vote, and perhaps that was a political strategy that Phil Scott was well advised to take.
Rich, you mentioned the 14% undecided, which looks like will decide this race. Is that particularly high at this point in a race?
Not really. You know, voters don't have to decide until it's time to decide. When we ask the question, we say if the election is held today, who would you vote for? And we also don't – our interviewers don't press on the don't know. So we're trying not to force anybody into opinion. So that's not all that surprising, given the fact, too, that, you know, we checked on awareness and people aren't paying all that much attention to the governor's race relative to the presidential race, which seems to take all the oxygen out of the room.
Pete, you've spoken to a lot of voters. Does that jibe with what you're hearing, that there's a lot of undecideds, a lot of people not paying really close attention to the governor's race yet?
Yeah, I suppose so. I think all of us in this business have people in our personal lives as well as the prospective voters that we talk to for stories that give us a sense of how the general public is perceiving the candidates. And a lot of the people that I've talked to have come to a decision one way or another. A lot of them are still sizing up the candidates. There's an interesting contrast, though, in the polling data, and we see that close to 40% of the people surveyed in this poll say they're either not too familiar with the candidates running for governor or they're not familiar at all with those candidates, yet only 14% are undecided, and it's fascinating. I guess either people are making uninformed choices for governor, or perhaps there's some other reason for the difference between those two statistics.
Rich,
or they're using
question.
The party
queue. Sorry, go ahead.
Or they're using the party queue.
Yep. So we have this question, Rich, from a listener online who says, who are the undecided voters? Can you tell or characterize who they are, who they're voting for in other races?
They tend to be the independents, people who are not affiliated with one party or the other. In fact, 24% of the independents in the gubernatorial race are undecided. They'll also tend to be lower education and younger. It's people who are less attentive to politics. I think most of the people who are very active in politics decided before the conventions. And it's the people who are either low attention or moderate attention who decide late in the race.
Gotcha. Listeners, we are talking about the VPR poll. It's out today, and you can join the conversation at 1-800-639-2211. Bill's calling us from Eden. Bill, thanks for calling Vermont Edition.
Good afternoon. So I went through the
Unfortunately, we can't hear your question. I think Bill wanted to get to the issues that about voter trust on Scott and Minter. So there are some very interesting differences. Rich, why don't you outline, you know, where Phil Scott does well on what issues and, you know, where Sue Minter does well?
Happily. So the we asked, who do you trust most to handle a number of issues? And when it comes to the economic things, the economy and jobs, 41% trust Phil Scott, 28% Sue Minter. When it comes to taxes and the budget, 42% Phil Scott, 28% Sue Minter. And then again, on cost of living, handling the cost of living, Scott has an advantage, 37% to 29% for Minter. The areas where Minter bodes well, she, when it comes down to enforce environmental and clean energy issues, Minter 40%, Scott 29%. And then they're running pretty close when it comes to battling the opiate addiction and what to do about the Vermont Health Care Exchange.
And Sue Minter, I think, too, on the education side, right, has a bit of advantage over Phil Scott.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I missed that.
Mm-hmm. And Pete, your reaction to those observations from the voters of Vermont?
What's interesting, I think, is that all of us think that this is a race that's going to be decided on the economy and economic issues and cost of living issues. And in fact, that's what we hear the candidates talking about most, right? Who's going to come up with the best economic development plan? Who's going to do the most to grow jobs? Who's going to do the most to raise wages? And we see Phil Scott coming in with higher favorables, higher trust levels on those issues than Sue Minter. And yet, we don't see that translating into an overall lead for Phil Scott with voters. So obviously there are some other considerations that people are taking into account. Perhaps, like Rich mentioned earlier, it's Democrats following the party queue. But I think if we were given that set of those sets of numbers without seeing the overall, showing Phil Scott doing better than Sue Minter, measurably better on some of those key economic issues, we would have assumed that that would have translated into an overall lead in the polls, and yet it doesn't.
Rich Clark, do issues decide campaigns? I mean, races? You know, do they ultimately decide who's going to win or lose?
Not directly, no. People will have opinions on issues. There are single-issue voters for whom it's only about issues. They're usually found, you know, on Second Amendment rights or pro-life or abortion rights. But for the majority of Vermonters, they're not taking the time to understand the issues. But they understand basic propensities that parties have toward issues. And so the issues only matter kind of as they attach to those bigger issues for the majority of voters.
Now, one other thing we noticed in this poll was there are more Democrats supporting Phil Scott than Republicans supporting Sue Minter. One other thing, Pete, that I noticed is, you know, Phil Scott getting the Bruce Lissman vote, not a problem, I think in the high 90s. Sue Minter getting the Peter Galbraith vote in, again, the 90 percentile range. But only 66% of people who said they voted for Matt Dunne in the primary supporting Sue Minter and said they'll vote for her now. Still 24% of those undecided. Any reason Dunne voters aren't going for Minter right now?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, if you look at the proportion of Dunne voters who say they're going to support Sue Minter in this campaign, it actually matches up pretty closely with the number of Democrats overall who say they're going to support Sue Minter in this election. So perhaps they're a more accurate bellwether for where Democrats are in this race than the Galbraith numbers are for, as they relate to Minter, or the Lissman numbers are as they relate to Bruce Lissman. But, you know, we talk about Phil Scott drawing more Democratic voters than a conventional Republican candidate, it's still important to note that Sue Minter does far better with Democrats than Phil Scott does. And the more Democrats that get out to vote, the bigger proportion of that Democratic vote Minter is going to carry. So is Sue Minter doing as well as she would like to with the Democratic base? Perhaps not. I don't think that means that they're not going to do everything they can to drive turnout and doesn't change the fact that the more Democrats that come out on Election Day, the better it's going to be for Sue Minter.
The latest VPR poll is out. It shows that the governor's race is tight. But that might be the only statewide race that's still in play. Coming up, we'll look at what issues are really resonating with Vermont voters. And we're still very interested in hearing your thoughts. Are you waiting to decide on the U.S. Senate or the auditors' races? What issues might sway your decisions? Give us a call at 1-800-639-2211. That's 1-800-639-2211. Or you can post on the Vermont Edition Facebook page. This is Vermont Edition. I'm Rick Singeri, and this is Vermont Edition. Throughout the year, VPR has commissioned the Castlin Polling Institute to conduct a series of three polls to see where you stand on the statewide races and understand what you think about issues like the economy, job creation, guns, wind, and refugee resettlement. We've learned that the governor's race between Phil Scott and Sue Minter is a virtual dead heat, 39% for Scott, 38% for Minter, 14% undecided. We'll delve deeper into those numbers, and we've heard that the other statewide races are pretty one-sided. Lieutenant Governor's race, David Zuckerman, 17% lead over Randy Brock. In the U.S. Senate race, Patrick Leahy, 37% lead over Scott Milne. And in the Attorney General's race, T.J. Donovan, a 42% lead over Deb Bucknum. Parsing the numbers with me are VPR's Pete Hirschfeld and Rich Clark. He's the director of the Castleton Polling Institute. The poll results are on our webpage. That's vpr.net/Vermont Edition. Listeners, love to hear from you. Great time to join in at 1-800-639-2211. You can also email your thoughts to vermontedition@vpr.net. As Donna did, she says, checks and balances. Anyone who thinks we should have one party must prefer a dictatorship. Phil Scott is a reasonable guy, works with both sides, and he's a native Vermonter. The fear-mongering about his party status needs to stop. He is more than that. But Rich says, look at what the Republicans are doing and then think. We need to get rid of Republicans. A third party would be helpful, but absent that, we have Sue Minter. And let's take a call from Joe, who's calling from Sunderland. Joe, thanks for joining the conversation today on Vermont Edition.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I'm undecided about the governor's race, although I have decided on the Democratic ticket to those down races in the state. And the reason I'm undecided, and traditionally I am a Democrat, is I have a hard time with Sue's position about factory wind farms and the inability of local residents to have a powerful say in their sightings. I just have a real problem with that philosophy with Sue, and it could be a game changer for me.
Great, Joe. Thanks for your call. Gene is calling from Rupert. Gene, thanks for calling Vermont Edition.
Hi. Thanks for accepting my call. And basically, I think the people who are optimists will vote for Sue Minter. People who are pessimists will vote for Phil Scott. And I think Phil Scott is an excellent person and has many good ideas. I just totally agree with the optimism that Sue Minter has about our state. We are so lucky to have these choices.
Thanks so much, Gene. So, Rich Clark, here we go. We get emails split right down the middle, calls split right down the middle. This is one tight race for governor.
Yeah, I want to point out when you said Rich said about the Republican Party, that was a caller, I'm assuming?
Oh, yes. Not me. Sorry, yes.
That's okay.
Yeah, good point. A listener who wrote in named Rich.
And Pete referred earlier to the name recognition issues that we ran back in July. In favorability terms, both Minter and Scott were seen as very favorable. In fact, they led everybody except for in favorability, except for Keisha Ram, who didn't have a lot of people who knew who she was. But so that last caller who expressed the idea that we are very lucky is right in that regard. When we have two presidential candidates who are seen more in negative terms, we have two gubernatorial candidates who are seen very much in positive terms.
Well, Rich, let's go right to the top of the ticket and look at where Vermonters are with the presidential race right now.
Sure. So we see that Vermonters favor Hillary Clinton with 45%, Donald Trump 17%. We have a not sure at about 10% lower, which we expect because people have been paying more attention to this race. But there's a lot of people who fall into the other camp, you know, the ones who are, I guess, still hoping and looking for that that other candidate who may come along. Gary Johnson and Jill Stein are not them. 4% for Gary Johnson and 3% for Jill Stein.
And Pete, there's no real surprise with those overall results, but can you discern about how Bernie's Vermont supporters are feeling heading into Election Day?
Well, we know there are a handful of them still that are going to vote for Bernie Sanders come hell or high water, since 4% of respondents actually said they'll be writing him in on Election Day, despite the fact that he's not on the ballot. I think these numbers indicate, on the whole at least, that neither Democrats nor Republicans are terribly enthusiastic about their party's nominee. Hillary Clinton fails to exceed the 50% threshold, despite the fact that a Republican challenger gets only 17% of the vote. And this enthusiasm gap on both sides of the aisle is due almost certainly to disaffection in some quarters of the electorate with the candidates. What will be interesting to see is whether a figure like Bernie Sanders can generate some enthusiasm among Democrats in the last weeks of this election. He's going to be touring the state, holding rallies with Sue Minter and other statewide Democratic candidates this weekend. And the question of whether or not Bernie can light the fire that's going to be needed to spark turnout is an open question. But we've seen him inspire people before, and he has the real potential to do so in the closing weeks of this race.
Let's move to the lieutenant governor's race. Rich, what did the poll find between Republican Randy Brock and progressive Democrat David Zuckerman?
Well, we found 43% for Zuckerman and 26% for Brock, with a 20% undecided or not sure at this point. So that's a lot of room in there. But again, the Zuckerman has a pretty strong 17-point lead there. So
what did you find out about how much people are paying attention to this race and how much they are familiar with these two candidates?
Right. And we didn't ask exactly how much they're paying attention to this particular race. But when we asked about how familiar they are with the candidates, only 9% said they were very familiar and 24% somewhat familiar. So that's, you know, about a third of our respondents have somewhere in the some degree of familiarity with the two.
Pete, this is Randy Brock's fourth statewide race, including running for governor in 2012. Zuckerman, definitely a progressive, not a Democrat, and this is his first statewide race. So do these poll numbers surprise you in any way?
I think the gap between the two is notable and maybe somewhat surprising. I don't think it's a surprise that David Zuckerman is leading in this race. Like you said, this is Randy Brock's fourth statewide race, and he performed pretty dismally in his last statewide run, which was in 2012 when he challenged Peter Shumlin. Brock only got about a third of the vote. He lost by more than 20 percentage points. And when that happens, you have to wonder whether a candidate has a natural ceiling on their appeal with voters. I think Randy Brock is also perceived as being more conservative than Phil Scott. And I'm not saying that that's accurate or fair, but I think it is the perception. And we see Randy Brock getting only 8% of the vote among Democrats and also people who lean Democratic. Phil Scott is nearly double that amount. And you cannot win a statewide race in Vermont as a Republican without generating some kind of crossover appeal.
What has Zuckerman done to command this kind of lead? Anything you're noticing?
Well, he's a progressive first for sure, and that's going to appeal to a small but significant swath of the electorate here. He's also moderated his platform from this race and made some real inroads with the Democratic Party establishment, and I think has cemented his credibility with a lot of conventionally Democratic voters. Also, Zuckerman is a guy that Bernie Sanders got behind early in this race, and a lot of the political energy and enthusiasm that had been focused on Bernie Sanders' presidential campaign found a new home in David Zuckerman. As we've seen, that can be a powerful factor in an election.
Let's go back to the phone calls. Dan is calling from Enosburg Falls. Dan, what's your question or comment today on Vermont Edition?
Yes. Well, first, with Bernie Sanders, I think there's just a lot of anger still out there. I can tell you my son is in the military. It was all about Bernie Sanders, and he's going to write Bernie Sanders in despite it, because there's just this disdain for the two candidates at the top. So I think Bernie didn't realize, well, maybe he did, but he really upset his base that wasn't connected to Hillary Clinton in any form. And I think at the gubernatorial level, it won't be as impactful as it could have been if Bernie Sanders would have stayed in. So from that perspective, the other thing is I still don't see any plans. You know, Vermont continues to lose people on the census reports. People are leaving, young people are leaving, the costs are up there. We just don't see any plan to reduce taxes in this state in a real substantial way. I'm hoping that someone can address that, because we continue to lose one of the few states in the country that are losing people. And the smaller the population gets, the tax base goes with it. So that's my other comment.
Thanks for calling, Dan. And Julie is calling from Burlington. Julie, thanks for calling Vermont Edition.
Hi there. Yeah, I just I have to share something remarkable that happened, particularly in light of the poll being released today. I was actually surveyed over the phone last night from a firm out of the Lansing, Michigan area, and they were particularly interested in my feelings on the gubernatorial and lieutenant governor race, along with the presidential ticket. But the one issue question they asked is if I would support Burlington teachers if they did go on strike following the negotiations that they're in today. And solely based on my own opinion, it felt like the poll was skewed, like, or commissioned by Republicans. I don't know if it's Phil Scott or the RGA or, you know, another PAC, but I just found that very interesting that the candidates are, you know, taking cues on their position on, you know, something that's happened this close out to the election. And I was just curious about your panelists' thoughts on that.
I don't know, Rich, if you can discuss any other polls that are being conducted, but there is something called a push poll that it kind of sounds what Julie's describing. Can you explain the difference between the polls you conduct at Castleton Polling Institute and what are known as push polls?
Well, I'll take issue with you on that, Rick, because it doesn't sound like a push poll. They don't ask too many questions. They try to get in and off of the phone very quickly, mm-hmm. and they're pushing out some information, you know. So if there was a question, you know, how would you vote if you knew such and such was cheating on his wife or such? That's the typical push poll, and they're out. They don't collect demographic data or anything like that. This sounds more like it's a way to craft a message, and whether or not somebody should come out in favor of the teachers or a union or against it, finding that position. Mm-hmm. But I love taking polls. When they call my house, my wife just hands it to me. I'm always eager. The only time I don't participate is when they won't tell me who they're working for. You know, I think ethically, if they're not going to tell you because it's a marketing thing, they have to be able to tell you at the end before you hang up. Otherwise, I'm not going to participate.
The pollster who loves to be polled, Rich Clark. Listeners, this is a great time for you to be heard on the candidates, on the issues. You can give us a call, 1-800-639-2211, 1-800-639-2211. You can email your thoughts to vermontedition@vpr.net. Rich, seven-term Democrat Democratic Senator Patrick Leahy running for re-election against Republican Scott Milne. It was Milne who 2 years ago came close to unseating incumbent Governor Peter Shumlin. This race, though, very lopsided. What are the numbers?
59% in support of Leahy, 22% for Milne. You have 10% not sure. Leahy he does great. He does well with the Republicans. He's getting 17% of the Republican vote. He beats Milne with the independents, with 43% to 20%. And then he's holding 85% of the Democrats and Democratic leaners. So he's just got – the party is right behind him, lockstep.
Pete Hirschfeld, it was never going to be easy for anyone to unseat Patrick Leahy. Why do you think Scott Milne, though, is having a difficult time gaining traction in this race?
Here's the key difference between the phenomenal result that we saw Scott Milne get in 2014 and the poll results that we see in this race, and that is that Peter Shumlin – was struggling mightily at the time with some poor favorables. People just did not think highly of the job he was doing as governor when Scott Milne was taking him on in that race. Less than half of Vermonters in some polls, in fact, were dissatisfied with his job performance. Polling data suggests that Pat Leahy tends to have a far better impression with voters. They think pretty highly of him generally, high 60s, low 70s, say he's doing a good job or they have a good opinion of him. And beating an incumbent with those kinds of favorabilities is a much tougher proposition than taking one out who's already soured with the electorate. The other interesting thing to look at is this is the one race where we can look for a trend between the poll that VPR did in July with the Castleton Polling Institute and the one we did now. And the results are almost identical, which means that not only is Scott Milne not doing well against Pat Leahy right now, but that he has been unable to eat into that deficit despite this sustained attack that we've seen on Patrick Leahy's integrity, Pat Leahy's ties to special interests, and this sort of career politicianism that Scott Milne says he needs to be rooted out of Washington.
So you're not expecting an Election Day surprise again from Scott Milne in a few weeks?
No.
Well, let's move down the ticket again, Rich. People are paying less attention to these races, but what do the numbers show as to how interested Vermonters are in the attorney general's race and who they favor in replacing Bill Sorrell?
Okay, in the attorney general, we asked how familiar they were with the candidates again. Mm-hmm. And 8% said they were very familiar, 16% somewhat familiar. So now we're just less than a quarter of Vermonters saying they have any real familiarity with them. 48%, nearly half of our respondents, said not at all familiar. And so we see this, that the race hasn't gotten traction among the voters. But we do see that Donovan has a strong lead, and the whether it's name recognition or what, but he's also doing much better among those who are paying attention. So for those in the know, 77% say they favor Donovan over Bucknum. And for those who say they're not familiar at all, Donovan's support drops down to 44%.
Pete, T.J. Donovan ran 4 years ago in the Democratic primary. Has that given him an advantage over Deborah Bucknum in the statewide name recognition?
Oh, it absolutely has. And keep in mind, he's the state's attorney in the most populous county in Vermont who has used that platform to launch a number of initiatives that have been praised by members of both parties. The other thing is T.J. Donovan in many ways has not stopped campaigning since he lost that 2012 race against Bill Sorrell. There are few politicians in this state that have done more to burnish their appeal and reputation with the base than T.J. Donovan has. He puts in a lot of time with the grassroots voters that form the base of the Democratic Party, and he looks to be enjoying the fruits of that political labor right now.
Still hearing from our listeners on the gubernatorial race, Aaron writes, I'm an undecided voter, and I don't fit the profile you described. I'm a registered Democrat who has worked both paid and unpaid jobs for the Democratic Party. I have graduate and undergraduate degrees. I've never considered voting for Republican before. I think Sue Minter is terrific in many ways. My problem in this race is that school choice is a huge issue for me. This is a make-or-break issue for me. And Lorianne writes, these results totally line up with my choices. I'm normally more aligned with the Democrats, but I like both Phil Scott and Sue Minter. They're both decent people with integrity. Vermont's elections this year are a breath of fresh air for me. It is VPR poll day today on Vermont Edition. We've got Rich Clark, director of the Castleton Polling Institute, and VPR reporter Pete Hirschfeld. If you haven't seen the full poll yet, all the data is at vpr.net. Coming up, we're going to dive even deeper into the results and look at what Vermonters told us about their trust in state government. This is Vermont Edition on VPR. This is Vermont Edition. I'm Rick Singeri. We released the results of the VPR poll early this morning, and this hour we're dissecting the numbers with Rich Clark. He's the director of the Castleton Polling Institute, which conducted the poll for VPR, and with VPR reporter Pete Hirschfeld. He's been working the numbers and reporting on the results. We're looking at the statewide races, of which only the governor's race appears to be close. Phil Scott and Sue Minter, a statistical tie, 39% for Scott, 38% for Minter, 14% yet undecided. And we've heard that the other statewide races pretty one-sided. In the lieutenant governor's race, David Zuckerman has a 17-point lead over Randy Brock. In the U.S. Senate race, Patrick Leahy, a 37% lead over Scott Milne. And in the attorney general's race, T.J. Donovan has a 42% lead over Deb Bucknum. Now, we've spent a lot of time this hour talking about what candidates are up to and what people think about them in these races. But the poll also asked respondents all respondents what they think about various issues facing the state, regardless of whether those individuals were likely to vote. So let's start with the open-ended question. Rich, how was that asked?
Well, we asked people what issue they would most like to see the Vermont legislature focus on this year, which is different than questions we asked earlier, most important problem facing Vermont. So it tended to be more policy focused than the latter.
And why was it framed that way?
It was framed that way. If you go back and look at how we asked it in July, we asked what's the most important problem facing the state today. We had 24% fall into kind of the other, and this is low morals, use of foul language, rejecting God, responses that the legislature really can't get a grasp on. So by focusing it, if you had to pick one issue, the question read, if you had to pick one issue that you'd most like to see the Vermont legislature focus on next session, what would that issue be? We asked it open-ended like that, and then we coded the responses into some categories. And, you know, when we asked the question of most important problem, the economy was the highest vote getter with 28%. But you'll see here when we say taxes, 14%, jobs in the economy, 12%. Economic issues still are very important.
Pete, there are some issues that seem really controversial, marijuana, guns, refugee resettlement, but they're at the bottom of the list. So what do you make of that?
These are issues that may not be foremost on the minds of the majority of the voters, but we hear a lot about them. They're in the media a lot, and I think that's because despite the fact that they're not key issues for the majority of the electorate, they can still play outsized roles in deciding who's going to be governor, who's going to be president, who's going to be the next senator. It's because the issues are notable less for the sheer number of people who care about them, but more about because of the intensity of the opinion among those that do care about those issues. On issues like gun control or marijuana or wind power, for that matter, people will move mountains to get their candidate in office. And one voter who's willing to knock on 500 doors to get out the vote can have a disproportionate effect on the outcome of these races.
The poll, Rich, asked about gun laws, and the results show that Vermonters have a strong consensus in favor of universal background checks for all gun purchases. 84% support the idea, 12% oppose it. How is the question phrased, Rich?
We asked, do you support or oppose requiring universal background checks for all gun purchases, regardless if sold in a store, gun show, or private sale?
We asked a similar question in an earlier poll this spring. So any difference in the responses we heard then and what we've heard now?
So in February, mm-hmm. It was back in February, we asked and 89% supported background checks. We did not use the word universal in February, we did this time around because that's the language that's been used. And we see 84%. So if the needle moved, I mean, it's very, very slight.
Yeah. Pete, we've seen lawmakers go through protracted debate over changing Vermont gun laws with little change actually made. So what do you make about that disconnect between what the poll shows now, both early in the year in February, now in October, and what the legislature actually does?
Legislative action inevitably lags behind public opinion. We see that time and again on any number of issues. And I think there's still lingering fear among some office holders that there's going to be a price to pay for political candidates who touch the gun issues. An inspired group of gun control activists has worked hard to change that political calculus in Montpelier. I think there are lots of politicians who now think that A, universal background checks are a good idea, and B, that it's a politically expedient position to take. If early rumblings are any indication, then we're absolutely going to see a concerted effort in the State House next year to get a universal background check law on the books. I know that there are people that object to that terminology, but the power brokers in Montpelier seem to be lining up strongly behind this proposal, and I imagine it's something we're going to see taken on in earnest in the next biennium.
Let's go back to the phones. We have Beth calling from Rutland. Beth, thanks for joining the conversation today on Vermont Edition.
Oh, hi. Thank you. And hello to Rich. I was wondering if in the future VPR would be interested in putting this question in the poll, or if Rich would be interested in putting this in the poll, in future polls. I'm a telephone surveyor for Rich's institute, and several people would say they weren't familiar with several names in the races, and they would say they weren't familiar with several issues. And then when we got towards the end, they would say they were definitely going to vote. And I'd get off the phone and I'd think, oh my God, I hope they're only voting possibly for the presidential race. And I don't know if, so the question would be, are you going to be voting in one race and or for one issue, or will you be voting in all races for all the issues? I don't know if that's possible or not.
Sure.
And yeah. I'll get off the phone and listen.
All right, Rich.
Thank you.
You can address this one. I would imagine that as you're calling ahead of an election, the further you go down the ticket, the less people are familiar with the candidates. But on election day, they go into the booth. You know, they make decisions, right or wrong, Rich?
Well, they do. And, you know, political scientists have known this for going back to the National Election Study in the early 60s, that voters are woefully ill-informed on most issues, but they have propensities and they tend to make some rational choices. By the way, I didn't say hello to Beth, but yeah, she is one of our interviewers. What she's asking is so cognitively difficult for somebody to do over the phone. Mm-hmm. I think it's logistically hard. But we do know that people go into the voting booth ill-informed or with low information. But that's why we have political parties. And there's the cue next to the candidates' names that give you a hint of what they represent.
All right, let's talk to Dell, who's calling from Worcester. Dell, thanks for joining the conversation today on Vermont Edition.
Hi, thanks for taking my call, and hello to Pete.
Hi, Dell.
I am also someone who is inclined to say yes when I get a phone call saying they want me to participate in a poll.
Bless you.
But I realized I would love to know how to find what question to ask to find out if they are calling representing a party or a candidate. If they say anything, it tends to be some name of some organization that I have no idea.
Thanks, Dell. So, Rich, what is the cue? How can we suss that out when somebody calls us?
Who is sponsoring this poll? If they're a member of APOR or the Transparency Initiative, they are supposed to tell you, and it's part of our ethics.
So we've asked some questions here about things like, supporting the legislature and your local government. Rich, how do people feel about their local government from what you learned in this poll?
Well, it seems proximity actually improves trust, right? So we asked about how much do you trust the Vermont State Legislature to serve the interests of Vermonters. 8% trust completely, 60% trust somewhat. So you're in the 68% there. But then when we ask about local government, we see that – I'm sorry. Trying to pull up local government there.
A lot of stats to pull through
yeah,
here.
But they have greater faith in local government. It comes out into the 70s there. When it comes to the public service board, it gets a little even fuzzier, a little less trust. And so I think trust from this poll we see, and it's not surprising for Vermonters, right, where local government is near and dear to our hearts, that, you know, the closer the proximity to the voter, the more trust they have.
And I think it was like 74% combined do trust their local government. One final question, Pete, talking about refugee resettlement, which has really been a big issue in the state. More than half, 56%, said that they would indeed welcome refugees into their community. Will this have an influence in certain places like Rutland when we hear numbers like this?
I'm not sure that it will. And the stat that I took away from this was the partisan split on this issue. 62% of Republicans say that towns should be able to not allow refugees to move in. Only 23% of Democrats said that. This is an issue that splits people along party lines, and that likely means it's a debate that's not going to end anytime soon.
And that's why we have pollsters to let us know what's going on out there. Rich Clark is the director of the Castleton Polling Institute. Pete Hirschfeld, one of VPR's Statehouse reporters. I want to thank you both for being here today.
I thank you.
Thanks.
Enjoyed it.
And listeners, if you want to swim through all the data from this poll, you can find it, a link to it, at vpr.net/Vermont Edition. The VPR poll is made possible in part with the support from the VPR Journalism Fund. And that's it for today. Now, tomorrow and coming up this week, we'll be speaking with the leading candidates in this very close race for governor. Tomorrow, it's Phil Scott. And on Friday, Democrat Sue Minter. So send your questions and comments for tomorrow's interview with Phil Scott. You can send them to vermontedition@vpr.net and join us live at noon. This is Vermont Edition. I'm Rick Singeri. Thank you so much for listening.